So I had a dream. I keep a book under my bed all the time because I know things pop into my head. And as soon as I wake up, I forget. But this particular dream, I actually saw CPR wrap on a victim. They were laying in the street, surrounded by cars, and somebody was performing CPR with this product on top of them. So I hone in on that product that's on top of the victim. And I woke up, traced it exactly how I remembered it. And that was the first illustration of my product. And I actually still have that paper right today of my trace.
Welcome to Keep Going, a podcast by Mazuma that shares motivational stories from small business owners. I'm Greg.
And I'm Ben.
And we're your hosts for this episode. Today, we're talking with Felicia, the owner of CPR Wrap, an innovative tool that makes CPR easier. Felicia, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, Felicia, let's start by going back a little ways. Where are you from? How did you grow up? And was there anything in your early years that led to you starting this company?
I am a mother of three amazing children, two amazing grandchildren.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We are from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was born and bred here in the Deep South. Growing up, I was never around any innovators, inventors, or anybody of that sort, or even business owners. So my path to where I am now was definitely not by choice, but I'm embracing every step of the journey.
That's great.
That's cool.
So were you inclined towards the medical field at all? Did that play into your early education or anything like that?
I always like to tinker with things, but I also like to care for people. So growing up and going to school, I became a CNA. As I grew older, I got my degree in physical therapy assisting, helping people get better, brain injuries, walking again. And I just knew that that was what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I tell people you have to have purpose. You have to be driven. If you have those two things, then going to work and doing what you love, it doesn't seem like work anymore because it's something that you actually want to do.
Right.
You mentioned you were a tinker. Was that all your whole life you were a tinker?
Always. Because look, I had three brothers, and they always tore up my toys.
Yeah.
So I had to put them back together, right? My parents couldn't afford toys again. So I was always trying to put things back together. And I just fell in love with the whole concept of creation of things. And I guess it never left me.
I need my wife to listen to this podcast. So she'll maybe have a little bit more patience with my sons. Because they qualify as tinkers. I come home after school, they tear things apart and they're all across the dining room table and can never get them back together. But hopefully they get better at that.
Oh, yeah. You can be helping them embrace something for much larger to come as they get older.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right. That's awesome. So what took you from your experience in the medical field to launching this device and this business?
Well, that's a story that I would definitely tell you that it probably will resonate with a lot of families and it's somewhat traumatic as I experience it over again. But when my children were younger, they used to call me the helicopter mom because I'm always over them, you know, just looking over them no matter what and where we are. And this particular day, we were on a drive. My 2-year-old son was in the middle of both my girls. I can't remember where we were driving, but I do remember that it was a very, very busy, busy day. And I looked to the back and I saw my baby in distress. Now, during that time, I did work in the hospital. I worked in the emergency room as an emergency room registration clerk. And we were taught CPR every year during that time. So I look at my son and I scream to my husband, you know, Robert, pull over, something's not right. So when we got to the side of the road, eventually, we both hop out of the car. My husband runs to take our baby out of the car seat. He gives him to me. And when I held my baby in my hands, I look into his face and he was turning, he was blue. And I knew that he was gone and I could not remember any of my CPR training during that time. So I'm shaking him, screaming, help me, help me. And my husband, who's an Army veteran, takes our baby out of my hands and saves his life. I was so devastated. Because I'm thinking, wow, all of this training I've had, and I couldn't help my son. What if my husband were not there with me? That was the day that my whole life changed. That was the day CPR Wrap was born.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It's no...
traumatic.
Yeah, very traumatic. Yeah. And what a blessing that it actually resulted in your son surviving. I was just sharing this with some friends recently, my story about leaving the hospital with a tiny baby out of the NICU, them doing extensive training about CPR and about choking and all of that. A matter of months later, he's choking and I can't remember a thing. In that moment, you can't access that knowledge. It makes this product so genius, I think. CPR Wrap, for those who are listening, is an instruction manual all laid out for you that you actually place on the body of the person in distress, and it guides you 1, 2, 3, 4, the steps to take, and it illustrates and describes the steps to take all right there in front of you after you open up the package. What was the process of getting there?
This is a whole different me that I'm getting ready to tell you about. So not only am I an innovator, I'm a big time procrastinator. Those two characteristics just don't mix, right? So I thought I knew what I wanted to do, because after that happened with my son, I'm already working in the medical field. I'm around cardiologists, respiratory therapists, CPR trainers. I'm around these people. These are my peers. I go to them with my thoughts, you know, like, this is something that I want to do, but I didn't have the design. I did not know what it was going to look like at the time, but I knew that I wanted to do something. So I had a dream. I keep a book under my bed all the time because I know things pop into my head. And as soon as I wake up, I forget. But this particular dream, I actually saw CPR Wrap, what we know for CPR Wrap to be right now, on a victim. They were laying in the street, surrounded by cars, and somebody was performing CPR with this product on top of them. So I hone in on that product that's on top of the victim. And I woke up, traced it exactly how I remembered it. And that was the first illustration of my product. And I actually still have that paper right today of my trace. Yeah.
Wow, that is incredible. You know, sometimes we talk about people feeling like they were called to start a business, or that was kind of their purpose in life. Certainly this is the case with you.
Oh yeah, because everything fell right into place with the people that I was connected to, with the dream that I actually had, and me eventually overcoming the procrastination to actually get this product made.
So take us down that journey a little bit. You've had the experience, you've had the dream, you have an idea of the design. Those are all amazing things, but so many times people get stuck right there. Talk us through that process of making this dream, this vision, a reality.
From the time that I actually came up with the concept after having the dream, it did take a few years for me to get going on it, because at the end of the day, I still have a family and they are my first priority. And I was just accepted into a physical therapy school. And we were going from a one income family to two income family and being able to come out of poverty pretty much. So I had to put that on the back burner for a little bit. And that's when my procrastination kicked in. But after I was able to graduate and have my degree in physical therapy, made a little money, it was like I just kept thinking about it. It was like I could never stop thinking about this product. And I was able to research everything I possibly could. Google was my best friend. The library was my best friend. And here in Chattanooga, and I'm pretty sure they have it in other cities as well, we had an entrepreneurial ecosystem that really looked after new entrepreneurs, new innovators, and they gave us all the resources, everything that we could possibly want to figure out, okay, you have a product, what's your first step? I was at a loss. I really did not know what to do. I had so much information that I had accumulated, but I didn't know what to do with it. I started to become overwhelmed because I was still working my 9-to-5, going to these incubators and accelerators, trying to figure out how to run a business, how to manufacture a product. And even if I really wanted to, they just really taught me to just, hey, Felicia, stop, do your business plan, figure out if this is even a feasible thing that you want to do, and just get the numbers, ask questions, and start from the bottom up. I was just trying to do too much. Once I did that, I was able to really focus on how to execute and get it out there.
Wow. Yeah. So you did a lot of legwork and started from ground zero, not just with the product, but with your knowledge of business and websites and accounting and marketing and all the different topics that come into this. How long ago was that?
I initially launched CPR. It was called CPR Life Rep at the time. I initially launched that in 2015, just with the concept on paper. And once I finished going through an incubator, Shark Tank was out. And I thought, okay, let me drive to Knoxville and just see if I can get on the show.
Yeah, okay.
I thought I could do anything. It was crazy. I mean, I'm actually going to get on this show, haven't made any money from this product. I drive down there. This is crazy. With my three children, you know, of course, they're older. We made it to Knoxville around 3 o'clock in the morning. It was like 40 something degrees outside. The line was wrapped around the corner twice for people wanting to do the open casting call for Shark Tank. It was crazy. And we were in the downtown part of Knoxville where nothing was open. So I have three young kids, myself, no food, no restroom, no product, but here I am thinking I'm going to get on Shark Tank. It was crazy. I was able to pitch my product. Of course, we didn't make it. But that was the first time that I ever thought I could ever do anything with this product. And I didn't tell you, I'm an introvert too. Let me throw that in there. So those are all barriers that I had to overcome.
Wow.
Right. That's incredible. You know, what can be born out of a vision with all that is stacked against us? It's amazing. We call it entrepreneurism. We call it having a vision, but it's really just inside every human, the ability to create something and to pursue something that they see that no one else around them sees. It's really a miracle. But I'm looking at this website you've got. It's a really good site. What were some of the developments that took place to get you here?
I have on the back of my wall, I wish everyone could see, the various stages of CPR Rep and what it took to get there. Because the first non-working template, we made it from a shower curtain and just hand drew all the images that we thought should be on the product. And that's what we were showing people, just to get their take on it, to see if this is something they even wanted out in the world. Because people, they have to have something tangible. No one knows what you're actually thinking in your mind. I mean, some people can't visualize what you're trying to put out into the world. So it was very important that I had something tangible to show people,
yes,
no matter what it looked like. So I started with that first. And going through these incubators here in Chattanooga, you know, I was through SCORE first. Then I went through something called Launch of Chattanooga. Because of them, I was able to go and pitch Shark Tank. And then I graduated and went through a CoLab. And they were like, okay, you got the product, you have a template, now will it sell? And so I had to go to different places. I had to do more pitches and try to get it out there because I needed money. Now, I have a product that I can't readily bootstrap because we don't have much money. How am I going to get this made? Getting capital was very hard because everybody wanted to invest in tech companies, or in Chattanooga, we're a big logistics town. People didn't want to invest in something they never heard of before. It was a medical product for one. In Tennessee, Chattanooga per se is just not a medical town. But a year after I debuted the product, I had quit. And I tell people, please don't do as I do. Please don't do that. Do as I say, okay? I went to school all these years to get us back onto our feet, making amazing money. So when I went all in, it's a CPR Rep, I decided I did not want to work for anyone else. I wanted to do this full time. I quit my job without telling my husband. Bad idea. So I'm thinking 2 weeks in, okay, he's going to notice there's no money flowing through.
Are you going to let him find out from the bank account?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Eventually, it's like, ask for forgiveness later. You know, I've got to do this. But We almost lost our house. Oh, bad Felicia. We almost lost our house. We did lose some cars. Just as I thought we were done for, a group, which I know now was a group of doctors, approached me. And they wanted to buy 80% of my company for $1.2 million. Me keep 20% and still be the face and run the company.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yes. So we were at a lunch talking and they brought the money with them. It was crazy. They brought a check.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
When I looked at the check, I saw shining light around it. I mean, I heard angels singing.
It was like, right?
Yeah. We needed this money really bad. But I always tell people to always have mentors and advisors, you know, somebody that you can really go back and talk to so you don't make harsh decisions that will be bad in the long run. So I politely excused myself from the table, went to the restroom, called the two people that I trusted the most and told them what was going on. They did not tell me to take the money and they didn't tell me not to. They just told me to remember my why and told me how hard that I worked for it. And if they were offering me $1.2 million for a concept, imagine what it'd be worth a few years down the line. And I turned the money down.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
So did you tell your husband that when you got home or did you just like let that?
Keep that one quiet too, probably.
I know. I kept it quiet for a little bit, but I told him and he was on board. I couldn't believe it. But we joke and he said I should have taken the money. But I'm glad I did.
Yeah, it sounds like you made the right decision.
Yes, I think I did.
Yeah, good for you. That's an incredible story. That's kind of like some people work their whole lives to get to that. The advice that you received from your mentor sounds amazing and you were able to stay focused on that why. And it sounds like you're happy you did.
I am. We're worth so much more now. It's not time to sell CPR rep. Not yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were many moments in your journey that you would have looked forward and said, of course I would take $1 million. You know, like that would be an easy decision. But then when you face it, again, that's pretty incredible.
It was hard. It was hard because we were at an impasse. And I fought myself. It was like, okay, first my baby almost died because I couldn't remember what to do. Then we almost lose our possessions because I took a step and I jumped into this world of entrepreneurship and making this product. And now we have a way out. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I see it right here. Why could I not move on this? Why? But something just told me not to.
That was definitely a crucible moment where you really had to find out what you believe in. That's incredible.
So where are you now? What's the current state of CPR rap?
World domination. And I will say that. I'll say it with a smile. We have work to do. And I tell people, you know, people in the world, we're mostly reactive. We don't think things could happen to us until they do. And the incident with Damar Hamlin, you know, with the football player, I mean, in front of millions of people, that woke everyone up. Even though hundreds of thousands of people experience sudden cardiac arrest every year, and 90% don't make it. This one incident where the whole world was watching made people realize, hey, that could happen to us. And we don't have a stellar team of medical doctors in my living room, in my bedroom, waiting to help me if something was to happen. So now we're doing deals. A lot of this I can't say yet because it's a time thing. Yeah. They want to announce it before I can. So we are partnering with some phenomenal organizations here in the U.S. and overseas. So CPR Wrap is a globally used product, which I cannot believe I'm saying that today. It's so surreal.
It makes sense. Every human,
it's universal.
Every human could use it.
Exactly.
It is incredible.
Thank you.
Oh, good for you. This is an incredible journey and incredible story. And you were mentioning earlier that you were a procrastinator. As I hear your story, I don't know if it was so much of a procrastination or if it was just the right timing. There's a timing for everything. And I feel like, you may feel like a procrastinator, but it sounded like some other things needed to get in place to really be able to maximize this product.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. The stories, the things that have happened to me, what I wanted to happen, but didn't, And I get so frustrated and saying, oh, they didn't do this. I didn't get this because, and I'm just going to be open. I didn't get this because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I didn't get this because I am a Black female. And sometimes it happens, but you're right. You know, it's a time thing. Things happen when they're supposed to happen.
So Felicia, going through this experience, what advice would you have for a small business owner or entrepreneur out there looking to get going?
I would tell other entrepreneurs that are looking to get going to never let fear be your driver when you have to make decisions on things. When you even think about wanting to jump into this amazing world of entrepreneurship, you have to do some deductive reasoning. You have to get mentors and advisors and champions for yourself to help you navigate through this world. You're always going to be afraid of what if. What if this don't make it? What if I'm wasting my time? Because time is a precious asset. If you do that, you'll never do it. We're doing the things that most people only wish they could. Not everybody can stop working a 9-to-5 for someone else to become an entrepreneur, to go after their dreams, to build a product. But you just have to do it, you know, and do it fearlessly. Because if you fail, that's only a learning experience. I'd rather learn from the person that failed a million times than someone that did it and won the first time.
Very good advice. Yeah, and I think following that internal compass, like you described in your story, is so key. I've got this little Chinese proverb I'm going to share. Is that okay? And maybe you can comment on the concept of timing. So a long time ago, a poor Chinese farmer lost a horse. And all the neighbors came around and said, well, that's too bad. The farmer said, maybe. And then shortly after, the horse returned, bringing another horse with him. And all the neighbors came around and said, well, that's good fortune. To which the farmer replied, maybe. The next day, the farmer's son was trying to tame the new horse and fell and broke his leg. All the neighbors came around and said, well, that's too bad. And the farmer replied, maybe. Shortly after, the emperor declared war on the neighboring nation and ordered all able-bodied men to come and fight. Many died and were badly maimed, but the farmer's son was unable to fight and spared because of his injury. All the neighbors came around and said, well, that's good fortune. To which the farmer replied, maybe. And so the story goes on and on and on, right? That these things that we see as bad fortune, bad things happening to us, sometimes are actually the stepping stones, right? The things that are moving us forward in life.
So true. So true. I can tell you one that specifically comes to mind. Steve Case, the founder of AOL, came to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he was doing an event, a Rise of the Rest Tour. And here are all these amazing million-dollar companies that are applying for this, that want to go on stage and pitch for $100,000. My company hasn't made a dime, but I was advised to try out. I tried out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Pitched to a standing room only of people all over Chattanooga, Tennessee and surrounding cities. And this was nationally televised. We made, I'll say, second place. We didn't win first place. The winner, he actually had raised $13 million prior, is a logistics company, and he won, right? I was upset. I was devastated, right? A few weeks later, I got a call, and I was invited to a summit in Bentonville, Arkansas, with the owners of Walmart.
Oh, no way.
Yes way. Now, here I am. I just lost this big pitch competition for $100,000 that I needed because I didn't have any more money. Runway, I didn't have any more money. So this would have helped us a lot. Made it to Bentonville, Arkansas. This is crazy. Walking around Bentonville, this lady, beautiful young lady, walks around. I mean, she sees me walking around downtown Bentonville, lost, because that's what I do. I get lost. And she asked to help, and she wanted to know what I did. And I was telling her. So I gave her a CPR wrap kit. And she said, oh, these need to be in Walmart. These need to be everywhere. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know them like that. I'm an introvert lady. You know, I can't do that. And so we go to the same event. She goes to one side of the room. I go to the next. The Stuart Walton walks in looking lovely as ever with his big cowboy hat on. Everybody turns around. He walks to the other side of the room to the lady that was talking to me, that walked with me over there, who's now his, she's an actress, and now his wife. She hands him my CPR wrap kit, and she's pointing at me. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So when I got back home, when I've talked to his lawyers and everything, and CPR wrap is now on Walmart.com, and we're working to get it in their brick and mortar.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, wow. All from a pitch competition that I did not want to do, that I actually lost and thought nothing was going to come out of it. But it's being at the right place at the right time and saying yes.
Wow. That is incredible.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that if we just spent more time with you, we'd continue to get some really a lot more neat stories. This is so inspiring. So our final question that we ask all of our podcast guests is, what is it that keeps you going in this business in spite of all the hurdles and challenges that it has placed in front of you?
That's a two-parter for me, because first and foremost is my family. Knowing that I'm creating some type of generational wealth for my children, and they're looking at me and they're looking at my failures. They're looking at my wins, and I want them to learn from that. And any other up and coming entrepreneur that's looking at me as well. And my other thing is, I'm a caregiver. We have a potential to save not just thousands of lives, millions of lives all over the world. Shame on me if I don't manage to get this product out into everybody's hands. So that is what drives me in CPR Wrap.
That's awesome.
That's great.
We really appreciate you being on today and hearing your story. And I'm excited to get it out there for more people to hear. What you're doing is just awesome.
Thank you. Y'all got me tearing up over here. Good work. Thank you.
Special. Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If you or someone you know would like to share your small business story, please go to MazumaUSA.com/keepgoing and fill out the form at the bottom of the page. And if you are looking for tax advice for your small business, be sure to join our Keep Going Facebook group and check out our website at MazumaUSA.com.